Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee, every Tuesday night on the Free Talk Live Network, wherever you get your Free Talk Live content. You can also get our daily show, which is called Good Morning Liberty. And we actually record it in the morning these days. That's pretty crazy. Good Morning Liberty. We talk life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to. We have 1,206 episodes on our podcast channel talking about the daily news, politics, culture, society, random things, because Charlie and I have been good friends for quite a long time. Before we took that little break, we were talking about whether or not presidents affect jobs numbers, Democrats, Republicans. Does it actually matter? And what about COVID? You were talking about what this would look like if COVID hadn't happened. It would be 5.5 for Biden in his first 3 years and 6.4 for Trump in his first 3 years.
That's what, if it flatlined. And
yeah,
it
if it just kept
growth,
going. Yeah. If it just kept going. So I did do that earlier. I just didn't bring it in. There's other caveats you could put on this, like the fact that look at Clinton's growth. That's ridiculous. 22.6 million jobs in an 8-year span. You know anything that happened during the 90s that could have potentially changed the economy in the face of the world forever?
The internet.
Now, I'm not sure what law Clinton signed to institute the internet. No. But that's a good example of a president not having a whole lot to do with the job growth during that time.
And then what happened in Bush's first term?
First, 9/11.
Well, 9/11 and the dot-com crash.
Yeah, the right when he was taking over. Yeah, you got the dot-com
literally
crash.
Mm-hmm. So the internet boom and the internet bust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with the president, by the way.
No.
And neither one of those.
So anyhow, it's not really making excuses for any one person or another, but if you're going to take the numbers and say, see, Democrats are just better at creating jobs, and you use something like Clinton's job growth during the time where we went from no internet to having the internet with tons of jobs created by that, and then Trump, who had a massive pandemic that I actually think would have gone worse.
I didn't realize Bush had two crashes, the dot-com burst and the financial. Mm-hmm.
The dot-com thing happened a little bit before Bush came in the office. That was more like 99, 2000, and Bush came in January of 2001. So
that's true.
He did. I mean, you can see that it does kind of happen right in this range. But anyhow, I think it would have gone worse if Hillary Clinton would have been the president during COVID. That's just my opinion. I think there probably would have been more people put out of work, and we probably would have spent more money.
We might not have had COVID if Clinton was president.
It's true, because Trump didn't do enough to stop it.
No, what I'm meaning is
they
that
wouldn't
it
have released
wouldn't have
it.
Been a big deal.
Oh, I got you. I thought you meant they wouldn't have released it to try and get Trump out of office.
Well, think about the potential pandemics we had underneath Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We had the swine flu. We had a SARS.
Yeah.
Coming out of the Middle East.
People talking bird flu.
We had Ebola. We had all this stuff that ended up not going anywhere. To be honest, during COVID, not that many people died. I'm sorry. It's just
some people
died, and that was sad. It was really sad. A lot of old people died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than the flu.
Would argue that it was outside of the norm.
Yes. But what I'm saying is I don't, and of course you don't know, but I have a hard time believing that the economy would have shut down the way that it did. because they were looking for any way to sabotage Trump's presidency. Mm-hmm. Anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude wasn't under investigation since the time before he took office. I mean, they were spying on his campaign. So they started before he even took office. And then he got impeached twice. He was under investigation the whole time. I mean, it was constant. It was a constant onslaught. I would argue, or one of my arguments would be, and of course we wouldn't ever know. I don't think they would have shut down the economy like they did under Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton, Hillary, we wouldn't know, but I don't think they would have done the same things.
I agree with that. I don't know if you ever have this feeling, but all these things, when we talk about what they did and all that, I think about the deep state and say WEF, UN, all these big people in power, you know who they are. Obama, Clinton, just showed you pictures of them. All these big wigs that are running things. I don't like Trump and I haven't voted for him, but I'll be honest with you. I want him to win. I do want him to win over Biden.
Yeah.
I would prefer him. And one of the main reasons I want Trump to win is to stick it to those assholes.
Right.
Okay. Because I know that they would hate it.
Yes.
So that's one of the main reasons. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. Anyhow, dumb bleep number five. Now, we've already talked about this week, so we don't have to talk about it a ton. It's going to be this whole DEI conversation. It's going to start off with I am yes, you are no, which, by the way, seems to be a fairly racist page. I came across another one of their posts because now I've probably shared this post to myself three times, making sure that I had it in my email inbox and spent a lot of time on the post when we were talking about it the other day. And so now Twitter thinks that I want to see this guy's post or girls. I don't know who it is. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty racist stuff on there. There actually is.
Yeah.
So I find,
you know, I saw a post the other day, somebody talking about like, oh, this is the new Twitter. They've got all these conspiracy theories or whatever. My thing is, I think that's actually a good thing because now these people are out in the open. It's like you can identify.
Yeah.
You can identify them.
I've identified one right
yes.
there.
Yes. And so you're like, okay, well this, yeah.
And here, kind of how it started here, this person said, this is Baltimore's DEI mayor commenting on the collapsed bridge there in Baltimore. We've talked about this a couple times this week already, but jumping out and blaming DEI first off for the bridge, or second, looking at a black man that is in political power and calling him a DEI something when he's a duly elected official and the mayor of a town.
He had a duel?
Yes, they had a duel, and he won.
Okay.
Yeah, he had the best gats. This was actually a pretty racist thing to say, and I would never...
Savage cats.
They were strapped. You were killed with your cabbage patch, I bet.
I was, yeah.
Anyhow, so that's part one of it. And then we had this one from yesterday.
I wonder how many people on the show don't understand some of the things that we do.
You would have to know the lyrics to Forgot About Dre to understand the last 30 seconds of what happened. Yeah. Or else you're like, what WTF is happening?
What is a cabbage patch?
And you know what's great is that it's funny to me and Charlie, and we don't care.
Exactly.
We don't care what you guys think. We're just having fun right now with microphones in front of our faces.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. This spurred...
You said something very important there. We don't care.
Yeah. Very important.
Yeah.
Now let's get back to number five. Okay, so calling him a DEI mayor, that's a bad idea. This has led to people taking DEI too far. DEI is a bad thing. All right. You want to hire people based on their merit, who's best for the job. But every single time something happens, you shouldn't blame DEI because you don't have the information on why it actually happened. Could have been DEI. Sure. Could have been DEI. But not this mayor getting elected. I mean,
right. I think elected officials is not really DEI. I guess one could argue that DEI could influence folks to vote a certain way.
You could say people vote based on DEI principles that have been, you know,
subconsciously
instilled in their
implanted.
Heads.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. This leads people to say things like any of these words equals the N-word. And now DEI has become one of those things because, in fact, people do use it in fairly racist instances. And assuming that a black person has a job and that must be DEI is not the right way to go.
How is white people not? offensive, well, by the way.
Black people can't be racist.
It's kind of funny, honestly.
Yeah.
It's, but you would think
white people.
You think that would be, you know, offensive.
Anyway, you got thug, inner city, law and order, welfare queen, you people, personal responsibility. I mean, I don't know how much joking this person is doing. I think they're trying to get clicks by saying a bunch of ridiculous stuff, but this is pretty much this person's job. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who basically agree with this. And if you say, I don't know,
statistics,
socialism or personal data. Responsibility, then you're basically being racist
Chicago.
At that point in time. Chicago,
what's you're out of there.
Victim per Shawshank capita race bather. See more movie quotes right there. Hopefully surely more people would get Ace Ventura too.
Un-American equals the N-word.
The N-word. And so now you can't say any of these things. You can't make any good arguments against anything, or that's racist.
Per capita. One of my favorites.
That's a really funny one. Did he put that on there twice?
Yeah.
Let me see. No, just once. Okay. Per capita. Just on there once. Okay. Speaking of racism, that was number five. This is number six. Jamal Bowman.
I'm just reminded of Forrest Gump when, you know, that scene where the Alabama, they're trying to get black people into college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that guy said, and Forrest is like, what's going on? He's like, well, they're trying to let per capitas into the building. Same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was the line from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not raccoons, you idiot. Victims. All right. Jamal Bowman pulling the alarm on a very specific subject right here. This is actually from last week also.
And I see what you did there.
Forgot to talk about it, but we got to play this clip. Here we go.
It is plantation capitalism to have someone paying 40, 50, 60% of their salary towards rent. That is plantation capitalism. Rent should be capped at 20% of someone's salary. That's where we need to take it. And as we rebuild our cities and as we rebuild our country to ensure that every single person has a home, we need to invest and pass the Green New Deal for public housing.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right.
It deals with the issue of unemployment and underemployment. It deals with the issue of the climate catastrophe that we are living in, and it deals with the issue of lack of affordable housing in our country. As the senator said, win, win, win.
Plantation capitalism. Mm. It is plantation capitalism if you're paying 50, 60% of your income towards your rent. I don't know what the heck plantation capitalism is. I really don't.
What is it when you're paying 20, 30, 40% of your income towards the government?
That is
plantation democracy.
That's just the price you pay to live in a civilized society.
A civilized slave. Yeah. You're a civilized slave.
Yeah. There you go. Plantation citizenship or whatever it is. Yeah. That's a good point. He wants to cap. Imagine trying to, how you would do this. Cap rent at 20% of a person's salary. Now, I don't know which way that cap would apply. If someone is making $35,000 a year, does that mean that when you go to get an apartment or whatever, that the person renting out that place has to lower the price down to 20% of your salary? Or does that mean that... But does that mean that you have to get subsidies to the extent that you're getting paid way more to where whatever that apartment costs is 20% of whatever the amount is you're getting paid after they subsidize your salary? Because those are one of the things you would have to do. You'd have to cap prices. How do you cap prices at 20% of everyone's salaries? Okay, sure. It's 20% of your salary, Charlie. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it. But when I go to do it, well, maybe it's 50 or 60% of mine. So what does that mean? The place where you live also has to get cheaper now, even if you're living there and it goes down to now 5% of your salary.
Well, and like, you're saying landlords aren't just going to pick the people who make the most amount of money since they can charge 20%? I mean, it might work out better the other way, by the way. You get multiple applicants And now salary is going to be one of the questions.
Yeah.
And the landlord's just going to be like, well, I'm going to pick the guy with the highest salary. I'm going to get 20% of that.
Now, they'll make a law against that, though. Yeah. But actually, that's what happens.
What the live group is saying is the actual answer is it's personal responsibility. Like 20% is a good number.
Now you're saying the M word on the podcast. Great.
Yeah. 20% is a good number. You know, maybe you should keep your rent or your mortgage or whatever, 20% of your salary. Now, banks will typically allow you to borrow up to 45% of your gross salary.
Okay. So
that's typically what they calculate your housing affordability off of. Mm. Now, I think that that's wrong. I think you should keep your housing expenses around that 20 to 30% mark. Only going up to 40% when you adjust for things that may happen and also include all the expenses of the entire home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No,
that's
how you should budget.
The main point of this is that, like the Green New Deal, this is something that is you can spend a bunch of money towards this if you want, but it's not going to change anything. You're just going to make things more expensive or cause more inflation. Or this is not a problem that's going to be solved through subsidies, through tax credits, things like that. Those things only drive market forces to make things actually more expensive. And part of this plan, because I did see some more write-ups about it, is they want to create millions more public housing units for people to live in, which are typically some of the best places to live that there are out there. And way cheaper. Mm-hmm. Way cheaper.
Well, they put like 10 roofs on them.
Yeah.
So
very strong.
Rain will
very
never
strong
get
places.
Through.
It's not possible. And when a tornado comes through, it just takes off the top four roofs, you know, so you don't have to worry about the other ones.
No.
Anyhow, that was a pretty dumb idea there from Jamal Bowman. That's number whatever that number was. That was number six.
And all homes deserve free fire alarms.
Number seven. Okay, this is a fun one. Matt Walsh. You know who Matt Walsh is?
Yeah.
Let me see. This is a video, Glenn Youngkin. Now, they're talking about cannabis here. And Glenn Youngkin vetoed legislation that would have created a retail marijuana market in Virginia. And he says, cannabis is bad for Virginia. We're not going to watch this whole video, but here's a few seconds of him.
But tobacco is fine.
Talking, and he's definitely in front of that building, not a green screen.
Vetoed the bill to create a commercial retail market for cannabis. Cannabis is bad for Virginia. And in all the other states that have had an extensive retail market, what you see is, first, it's terrible for children and adolescents' health and safety. Massive increases in child poisonings, massive increases in adolescent usage. And of course, when you combine that with the fact that the potency of cannabis today is dangerous. It drives mental health challenges.
Way higher than when I smoked
mental
it.
Sickness, to the point of psychosis.
Supposedly is a lot higher than it used to be.
There's also
know.
Been a systematic increase in these states.
Okay. Anyhow, he vetoed this legislation. And listen, first off, I want to say, I agree with a lot of the things he just said. I don't think kids should be smoking weed. I don't think anyone should be smoking weed, honestly, unless you've got some kind of problem that weed is medicinally going to solve for you. And not just that you're having a bad day. I mean, that there are medical uses for marijuana. And also, if you're taking...
And I would say that they're way better than some alternatives.
Well, sure. I would like rather you smoke weed than take Xanax. I'd rather you smoke weed than take Vicodin. Sure.
Yes.
I agree with all those things. One of the main problems we have with weed is it's scheduled in a way that we're not able to fully study it like we study everything. And people have this idea with weed that you can smoke as much of it as you want. No one's ever died from weed before. There's no bad side effects from weed. This doesn't matter at all. And I can just have as much of it as I want. And anyone who thinks that I can't is just a boomer who's crazy. I happen to think that that's extremely not true.
Well, how would you know that?
I happen to think.
Okay.
I happen to think, you know, everyone says you should do your own research.
Based on what?
So I happen to think that those ideas are extremely not true. And so anyhow, I agree with all that. I'm not out here arguing for people to smoke
weed. I guess
you
can't remember for those brain cells remember. You lost.
I have no idea why I remember why I think this at all. Matt Walsh says, nobody can seriously argue that the widespread legalization of marijuana has had a positive impact on society. Good call by Youngkin. My question is that the standard by which we judge things that the government should make illegal?
No.
That's my question. Mm. So has it had a positive impact on society? Okay, if it hasn't, then the government should make it illegal. There's your answer. There is your philosophy that you just laid out. That is where the problem is with this statement. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
How many other things could we name that have not had a positive impact on society?
Alcohol.
Alcohol is one.
Mm-hmm.
Donuts.
Yeah.
Is one. You know, sugary foods, stuff like that. Fast food, even maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, well, maybe it made it easier for some people to eat or whatever. So maybe fast food. I don't know. Cell phones, smartphones,
social media.
Cell phones are good. I think, you know, in a pinch, you need to call 911 or whatever. You know, call for a ride or whatever. Smartphones, I'm back and forth on whether or not those should have been invented. You know,
yeah. Corn syrup,
social media, corn syrup, yeah, stuff like that. And so my question is, where do you draw the line?
The internet.
Where do you? It was good for jobs. Look at Clinton's term. Where do you draw the line
podcasts
on whether or not podcasts, Democrats,
Trump?
Yeah.
Trump should be illegal. He hasn't had a positive impact on society.
So you see how slippery the slope is?
DEI.
And then all we're arguing over then is who gets to draw that line where? Positive impact on society. No, illegal. Free speech. Guns. Things like that, okay? Sodas, you know, cigarettes, alcohol, weed. All you're now doing
Well, this is Virginia. Cigarettes are fine.
Yeah. That's
fine. Tobacco.
That's fine.
As Bailey pointed out in the Fed Haters Club, this wouldn't have anything to do with the tobacco subsidies that Virginia offers, would it?
No, definitely not.
Or the campaign donations?
Definitely not at all.
Wouldn't want to have an alternative to a cigarette in your state, would you?
I still think I don't know about the smoking part because, you know, you're addicted to nicotine at that point. But I do think pharmaceutical companies would be detrimental to many pharmaceutical companies if we were just fully legal everywhere. And if it were fully studied and if it were accurately prescribed by doctors for the amount that you needed to take for, say, anxiety or for pain or whatever, because it could easily replace a lot of synthetic drugs that people are taking. So anyhow, there's that thing. You get the idea.
Yeah.
We got more Dumb Bleep coming right up, and then we'll be doing the voting, or the Fed Haters Club will be doing the voting. You can join that by going to joingml.com, so you can hang out with us live every single day of the week. That's joingml.com, so you can hang out with us live and you can vote for the Dumb Bleep of the Week. We'll finish it coming right up.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Several House Republicans are advocating for renaming the largest airport in the Washington, D.C. area in honor of former President Trump. Congressman Guy Reschenthaler from Pennsylvania has put forward a bill proposing the renaming of Washington Dulles International Airport to Donald J. Trump International Airport. In February, the number of job openings saw a slight increase, signaling ongoing strength in the job market. That's according to experts. The Labor Department reported that there were 8.8 million job openings on the the final business day of the month. LSU women's basketball is under fire after the team didn't come out for the national anthem before its regional final game against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa players held hands during the Star-Spangled Banner. LSU had left the court right before the anthem was played. LSU head coach Kim Mulkey said it wasn't intentional, just their routine. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's up? We are back. This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We are coming into segment 3 of Dumb Bleep of the Week. Almost done with Dumb Bleep of the Week and almost done with tonight's show. So if you don't know what Dumb Bleep of the Week is, that is where our live group, our subscribers, called the Fed Haters Club, which you can join by going to joingmail.com. They send us submissions all week. We put them all together. We normally grab about 10 of them. We present them to the audience. And then the Fed Haters Club gets the vote on which one was actually the dumbest. So we got a couple more left, and then we'll do the voting, and we will see who wins Dumb Bleep of the Week. Next thing.
Number 8.
So New York has had this problem. I don't know if you've heard about it, but people are getting attacked in New York.
I was going to say, it's not just women, by the way.
That's a lot of people.
I've seen reports of men being held up at gunpoint, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm.
But I guess women are getting attacked now, and that's where women draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you want to read this women's statement down here?
All right. The Women's Caucus statement regarding attacks against women in Lower Manhattan. The Women's Caucus is deeply disturbed and concerned about widespread reports of attacks against women in New York City that have been confirmed by the NYPD. The Women's Caucus calls on the NYPD for an immediate and comprehensive investigation to these incidents with transparent updates to the public.
Transparence?
Now, what has happened in New York for this uptick in crimes against women?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it couldn't be anything. We are encouraging...
Are you saying that immigrants are dangerous? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just thinking about what has New York done recently.
I don't know. Is it perhaps when they punish people who try to protect themselves or other people?
But maybe that's one of them.
That could be part of it.
Could it be letting dangerous people out of prison?
Oh, so you're a fan of You're a fan of cash bail.
I'm not.
You want poor people to be kept behind bars?
Nope.
We have to do an extended episode on bail sometimes, because I tell you what, I love the idea of not keeping someone behind bars because innocent until proven guilty, and there's no reason you should be there just on the fact that you're poor and someone isn't. But darn it, if it looks like that's not going very well.
In Illinois.
In a lot of places.
Or California. Or New York.
So we need to dig into what the difference is between what we argue for and maybe what's actually been instituted in some of these cities when it comes to violent criminals.
But also you have to look at the places this is happening. It's very difficult to protect yourself. So the deterrent against potential violence doesn't exist either, by the way. We are encouraging New Yorkers with similar experiences to notify the NYPD to conduct a thorough investigation. Amid an alarming trend in violence against women, this kind of violence is reprehensible. Women could try something, which is get a man.
Oh, I thought you were going to say stay in the kitchen, which is what the live group pointed out.
Which is getting a man.
Well, I'm assuming these are home invasions. You got to go in there, break into the kitchen, install woman's vacuuming or something like that.
And so council member Amanda Ferraris wants to know, where are the men calling this out? Well, you said you didn't need them anymore.
Yeah, you don't need men. Where are the men? Council member...
They're in the Philippines finding a wife, is what they're doing.
Council member Amanda Farias. Where have we seen her before? Oh, that's when a guy defended people from this homeless man who was threatening to hurt people on the subway train, including women and other people that were there on the subway train. And so we put the guy in a chokehold. The guy died. Jordan nearly died. I didn't want him to die. And I bet you, what's his name? Penny? Is his last name Penny? I think so. Daniel Penny, maybe. That's kind of ringing a bell in my head right now. So anyway, I doubt that he actually wanted him to die either. But here's council member Amanda Farias commenting on what Daniel Penny and the Jordan Neely situation.
Yeah, she said, I continue to be heartbroken and outraged by the death of Jordan Neely and the lack of justice. The Black Caucus NYC stands together to demand justice for Jordan and to pay attention to the systems that failed him so we do not lose any more Black New Yorkers to senseless violence.
Yeah, so this person commented, the last time a man in your city stood up and protected innocent women being harassed by a
vagrant,
you demanded he be arrested and prosecuted. Unfortunately for the women of NYC, they're reaping everything you've sown.
Unfortunately for women, they're starting to reap what they're sowing.
Yes.
There's a great TikTok account I didn't want to call out on the show. It's called Homath. It is. But it's actually really good. It's really good. And I think people, I think people that would understand it.
What do they do on this, this Homath channel?
Oh, well, he basically has broken down like the entire culture war between men and women.
Really?
In a fantastic, easy to digest, articulate way.
See, I thought it was just women doing math.
No. Well, he does explain some, Homath on there. Some
gotcha.
Lady math, like when they save money.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah.
I gotcha.
Those types of things. Mm-hmm. No, he's broken down how men, basically how men have built up society to the point where women say they don't need them anymore and it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've arbitrarily made it fair by using the government to force men into certain places. And now women are like, where are all the good men at after you force them away?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not happy either way. He does a really good job of explaining it. He talks about how, like, if you're below an 8 on the hot scale of as a man, like, you're not people. He has this whole thing called not people, and how the men at the top are getting all the women because they all are, aiming up.
I got you.
And it's really good. It's really good stuff. And I know a lot of women could be offended by it.
Of course.
But
that's what makes it so good, I bet.
But at the same time, and I'm not, there's plenty of good women out there. I'm not bashing on women, but
just most of them.
No, there comes a point where when you advocate for certain things without thinking about the consequences, and then when certain things happen, you can't, you have to take accountability for being like, oh, wow, man, I advocated for some of that. you know, maybe I should think about what I'm advocating for.
Yeah. Not the Bee puts out a nice headline here. New York councilwoman asked why men aren't protecting people after city arrested man who protected people. And so that's a great way of saying this. Mm-hmm. Now, the guy did die, had him in a chokehold. I don't think anyone wanted that to happen. I don't know what the legality is of accidentally killing someone. I feel like there is a potential involuntary manslaughter, although the guy was making threats to people on the train. And so at that point, you're defending yourself and other people. Mm-hmm. And this is what you do. This is what happens. Crap, it's late. We got to skip number 9 and go to number 10. Sorry. I'm sorry. We have to talk about this Vanderbilt thing. So the sit-in happened, I think it was yesterday or the day before. And it really has me think, well, we'll watch some videos here. They were sitting in because they wanted Vanderbilt to, BDS, which is, I can't remember, something divest and whatever. I'm trying to find it right now. If anyone knows what BDS stands for, let me know. I can't remember now. I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. You know, you guys ever not remembered something into a microphone before? It's really because I have.
Okay. It actually happened to me earlier. You know.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I lost my Trump train of thought.
Boycott, divest, and sanction against Israel. Okay, so that's what they want Vanderbilt to do. All right, and this person's got breaking news. Vanderbilt students are trapped by police right now. Here's what we got.
Breaking news, y'all. Vanderbilt has trapped its own students inside of a building with no food, water, access to medical attention that they need, or even a bathroom. Coalition of students have organized a sit-in in the chancellor's office to protest the university's decision to not let them hold a vote on BDS.
The way people frame things.
The school sent out police officers who are ready to arrest anyone who leaves the building and have already suspended 12 students. They really need y'all support right now, so please amplify posts from the Vanderbilt Divest Coalition. And if you go to our link tree, there's a bail fund that you can donate to help any of the students who get arrested.
Okay, so there's that one. So there's our breaking news. So let's dig in.
The way she framed reality in that situation is that Vanderbilt, by their own police, mm-hmm. are trapping students inside without food, water, medical attention that they need. And all of that.
Because they're afraid that if they leave, they're going to get arrested. Yes. So therefore, they are trapped mm-hmm. in the building.
That they broke into.
Yeah, it's like a reverse.
That they shouldn't have been in to begin with. left that part out, though.
This really funny situation happened where one of the sit-in girls needed to change her tampon. Mm. Okay. She didn't have a tampon with her. And so she wanted to leave to go do that, but she couldn't leave because she was trapped. She was worried about getting arrested. And so then she worried that she was going to go into toxic shock or whatever it is that happens when you don't, I don't know. I try not to think about it, honestly. Yeah. So I have no idea what the thing is. Mm-hmm. So here's some of the situation happening.
Like a serious situation. I need to know there's someone here who's going to go into like toxic.
And we will take care, but we're going to escort them out.
Okay. Hold on. She leaves the building, and then what happens?
If we leave the building, right, let's take her back to her room and get food. And that's all I can tell you right now, right? Get food.
I need to know what is going to happen when she leaves the building.
She's not going to be arrested if she leaves the building.
So we will not be arrested as soon as we leave the building.
No, you're not going to be arrested as soon as you leave the building, right? If you want to go back and get, I don't know. If I knew, I would tell you.
Why don't
because
you know?
I don't know.
Okay, who the hell can we call?
So who knows?
Right. Well, I don't know yet. All I know is if we have somebody's medical situation, let's get them the medical attention they need. Let's get her to her room, right? And I'm telling you,
let me interpret this for you.
We made a really bad decision, and now we're going to face consequences that we don't want to face. And so I need you to guarantee me that we won't face any consequences for the bad decision that we made, please.
Look at this guy saying, white people.
That's exactly what she said, by the way.
Okay, so this devolves into, of course,
because my dad never made me face consequences, and I need you to make sure that you are not going to hold me accountable to because I have a tampon.
Toxic shock.
This devolves into.
They will find anything, too. By the way, like it's not like toxic shock syndrome or whatever isn't real, but do you know, it takes quite a while to set in, by the way. It's not like because you leave a tampon in for a couple extra hours that it's going to happen. In fact, women will probably tell you there's plenty of them that sleep in them even though they know they shouldn't. Mm. So, because it can cause toxic shock syndrome, but they're willing to take that risk all the time. Mm-hmm. Plenty of them. Well, I've done my own research for that.
This was too much of a risk. this is too much of a risk. That's why they dialed 911 for this situation that they were in, because they were worried their friend was going to go into toxic shock. So they called 911.
It's just an excuse. It's literally an excuse medical to find response. A way to get out of the situation.
Currently a female student who is being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. So while you're saying...
I'm a female, I understand.
Right, so then you should understand... Okay, what you are not hearing is that if she stands up to use the restroom to change her tampon, they are threatening arrest. So it is not an option for her.
Ma'am, you have an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
That is an emergency.
Do you have an emergency? Not your friend that's inside. Do you have an emergency?
That is my emergency.
I don't remember the time that I needed to have an emergency personally to call 911 for help.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't remember a time when it has to be a personal emergency for me to call 911 for help. I am requesting assistance, medical urgent assistance.
Okay, what I'm telling you. Okay, so you're telling me your friend in Kirkland needs an ambulance.
She needs.
Is that what you're telling me?
Okay.
Hey, Vanderbilt has a hospital, by the way, you know?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Heard of it before.
It's world famous.
In this girl's defense, she was on her period. So, I mean,
who knows what?
Isn't this one of the best times to blame her period? I mean, we can straight up do that.
My God.
So they're calling an ambulance. Now, just remember, regardless, there is no actual emergency. She's talking about there being an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome, which means you're not. Mm-hmm. And so what do you want the ambulance? What do you want them to do? Like fight the police off or something like that? What are they supposed to do in this situation? Don't worry. There's a little bit more. These valiant and brave kids, when they finally emerged from battle, gave a little press conference out here. And Charlie, shame on us. Shame on us for being in Nashville, Tennessee, and not going out there with a camera and making fun of these kids ourselves. Okay? Absolute shame on us. Let's see.
The live group, the Fat Haters Club, is going off, and I love it.
Let's see.
Dang, let me do this before you play this video. One person says a $5,000 ambulance ride for a tampon. Perfection. A female in the group responds to that and says girl math. Oh, man. You just can't make this stuff up. These are the type of kids in society, by the way.
Oh, my God.
They will... The biggest problem that I have with this is they will find anything. They're literally calling 911 because they are afraid of getting in trouble for doing something that would get you in trouble.
Do you know what they need?
And using any excuse necessary. And it's Darvo. They're Darvoing.
Yeah.
They're reversing the victim offender.
Yeah, they definitely are. My argument for what these kids need, first off, my first inclination is they need a good war. I mean, like a real war where people really have to fight.
So you want to put women on the front lines
for their lives. Women are people too. They can be in battle. That's fine.
Can they change their tampons without getting shot at?
They can, I don't know. You might have to call a medic to shield you from fire or something. I'm not really sure. What I mean is, this is what happens when life gets so easy and you have nothing to fight for, and you create these situations in your life to feel like you're giving your life some purpose and to feel like you really did something, like you just came through this trauma and that you're a victim and that you overcame and all that. Like, these kids need something. And I'm not advocating actually for a war, But I'm saying is they've never had to deal with anything actually serious before. And maybe we haven't either, but we can just, we're not on our period, so we can see both sides right now. You know, we can see the whole equation at the moment.
I wish the cop standing there would have said something along the lines of, well, let me see if I can pull some strings and get some help in here.
You know? That would have been good.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been good. Okay. Let's see what they said outside.
They delivered to us. They deprived us of the right.
Can't understand that.
Restroom. They deprived us of medical.
You can't understand it because he has a mask on.
Why are they wearing?
He's wearing a mask.
I was just thinking, why is like the left half wearing a mask? The other people aren't happening. He's talking about their deprivation, by the way.
In essence, they tried to break us. They tried to break our bodies. They tried to break our spirits. Like I said, all I can come up with is a real good war. And I'm not talking war on terror. Not like that. I mean, enemy at the gates. Enemy, not the movie.
Well,
enemies at the gates.
They're so pro-Palestine. Why don't they go join up with Hamas?
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is exactly what they should do. Problem solved.
Yeah.
They should go fight Israel.
They should actually protest. Go fight Israel. If you believe so strongly, if they are so ardent patriots, if they are ardent Palestinian patriots,
yeah,
will they not take up arms in a time when Palestinians need them most?
Okay. I think we have to move on from this. I try to not let it grind me down. But gall darn it, the future, I'm worried about the future for the world. I'm just a little bit worried. I'm worried about the disintegration of our institutions.
I'm not.
Of our cohesive ideology. Culture, not that we all have the same culture, but same values.
I've been talking about this for a while, but I've gotten to the point in life, I think, where I'm done arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let them have it, you know?
Yeah, just don't get any on me. That's the problem.
You want $25 minimum wage for fast food workers in California? Go for it. I hope all the businesses leave. You know, you don't need a man to protect you or whatever, you women out there saying that, good. Don't get one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But don't come crying when you need one. Okay. I hope all the men quit.
They should.
Around you. You know,
yeah.
The good ones deserve, you know, something good. Whatever, whatever. You know, you're pro Palestine. I'll buy you a gun so you can go over there and support your people.
Yeah.
You know, that you so are desperately want to support. Like, let's just create. In fact, I think we should help, you know, these people create the bubbles of the society that they want, that they can live in.
Yeah, we could.
And then the problem would take care of itself.
It would. And I think eventually the problem will take care of itself because these people are, I mean, they're going to die out. They're not going to reproduce. And eventually a generation or two.
Not with toxic sock syndrome. You can't reproduce, Nate, obviously, which isn't her fault.
Mm-mm.
Now.
Shocking what's going on in there. Hey, let's get the votes in. Number one was Kamala Harris, Puerto Rico. Number two was the bridge workers. Thank God they were immigrants. Number three, Beto, greedflation. Number four, the jobs presidents, Democrats. Number five was the DEI mayor. Number six was the plantation capitalism. Number seven, weed not positive, and that idea. Number eight, where are the men? Number nine, we didn't get to do because, holy crap, we've ran long on time once again. It's already almost 11:30 right now. Number nine was a good one called, we named it excessive free speech, but it was actually a pretty good article from the Globe and Mail. Excessive free speech is a breathing ground for more Trumps. If you want to vote for that, you can. That's fine. You can do that. Or number 10, the Vandy deal.
That's, yeah.
So
I think I'm going to make an executive decision.
I mean, it already
won. It's number 10.
It's already won.
Yeah.
So.
All right. No need to get the votes in because they're there. The situation at Vandy, the way it was framed, these poor student victims. You know, I hope their moms and dads are able to come in and rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just feel I'm going to lose sleep at night.
I saw someone.
I am going to struggle sleeping at night thinking about these poor kids that broke into a building they shouldn't have been in.
Someone posted.
And were deprived of basic humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Such basic humanity, they couldn't even change a tampon without the fear of getting arrested for their actions.
Imagine going.
That is deprivation.
Going and trespassing or breaking into a building, refusing to leave, and the cops are outside. I mean, that's what I'm actually describing the situation. And then you need to change your tampon, and you're like, they're blocking me from leaving because when I leave, they're going to arrest me for doing what I did. So therefore, I'm trapped. I'm a victim. That's what happens.
When you say it out loud, you know?
I hadn't actually thought about it yet.
Yes. But
yeah, that's what's going on.
Literal Darvo. Okay. These are egotistical. I don't know if they're full-blown narcissists, but it's narcissistic. Egotistical, the reverse victim offender, ridiculous people who have never been held accountable for anything they've done in their lives. They're perfect little angels. The men too. Mm-hmm. Men probably had to change their tampons, I bet.
Yeah,
and
probably.
They were deprived of that.
Am I might have been trans men.
Yeah, so yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'm glad that was highlighted. What a ridiculous story.
Okay, thank you so much for hanging out with us this Tuesday night. Year of our Lord 2024. We will be back again next week on Tuesday night, Liberty at Night. But if you want to listen to us before then, you can find Charlie and I on our daily podcast called Good Morning Liberty. We do a show every single day of the week. We'll see you next Tuesday night.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.